Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Okay, I think I'm ready now. I forgot something in the other room.
We don't want to rush
set
you.
To go. No, you wouldn't want to rush it.
No.
Why would I want to be in here when the show actually starts, right?
Right.
That seems stupid. Fred, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Sue. This was our chance. We could have taken over the show.
Yeah.
Could have.
We had a lot to say.
It was close,
for sure.
I was
telling Fred, Michael took off, drove the motorcycle today up to Chicago. I mean, we have fascinating conversations off the air. Mm.
So, what, the motorcycle, is there only one?
No, there are two.
Okay. Do you ever ride a motorcycle?
I ride on the back.
You ride,
Earhart,
you ride,
so yeah,
rhymes
ride
like which?
I ride, yeah, I be ride.
Yeah, so like, this is, I learned about that, I think I told you that, at the Harley 90th anniversary, I was in Milwaukee, and I'd never been on a Harley before, because I'm a wuss, never been on a motorcycle. Actually, I'd been on a motorcycle when I was a kid, and it scared the hell out of me.
Oh.
It was more of a dirt bikey thing, and I didn't like it. Because it scared me, and I was doing stupid stuff.
Well, nobody showed you how to do it properly, probably.
No, I'm pretty sure alcohol might have been involved, too.
Oh, whoa.
So that's not a good thing. But at the Harley 90th, because I think I was there in Milwaukee for the 90th and the 95th, or it was the 95th and the 100th. It's crazy, all these Harley people.
Oh,
so
sure.
I'm like, I want to ride on a Harley. So not only did I ride bitch, but I rode bitch with a woman. So, how about that, right?
Oh, my gosh. It was Kent Earhart of Channel 4 who taught me that term. Many years
Fred
ago.
Looked very jarred by that. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'm just being honest with you.
Would
that's
you still
what it's
call
called.
It that when you're riding on the front or in the back with a woman?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's yes.
A solid
yeah.
question,
that's,
that, though,
like,
Fred.
It's even worse,
yeah.
I think. Is what, yes,
yeah.
I know. I get it. I get your question. But no, she was awesome. She took me for a little tour.
That is hilarious. I love that story.
Oh, my gosh. I have so much to say about the most boring All-Star game in history. But I'm going to wait for that for the 4 o'clock hour. As great as the Home Run Derby was, and by the way, as a baseball fan and as a Cardinals fan and as someone who wanted to see if the Cardinals would play, I hung in there till the end last night because Herrera didn't bat, I don't think, until the 8th, and then he grounded out. And then Jordan Walker finally got in the 9th, and he struck out. Look, the pitching, the American League pitching was just really incredible last night.
It must have been.
Yeah. So I'll get into that. I want to start, though, with something pretty serious here. And I will say that this is a story that I've ignored up until this point, and I'm a little embarrassed that I've ignored it. And quite candidly, I think it should be a national story. And it is horrific what happened in East St. Louis with these two teenagers who killed this entire family. And a lot of this came out in court today, and it is revolting when you hear the details. So you have, and for people who haven't heard about this, this was five separate people were killed in East St. Louis at different locations, all right? That's what makes this very...
It was planned.
It was very planned, right? During, you know, a period where these two people, this couple, young couple, it was a 15-year-old girl and her boyfriend. The 15-year-old girl is a juvenile. She's being charged as a juvenile right now. They're going to try to get her to, you know, be charged as an adult. Jameer Davis is 16. They're identifying him. This is from our local paper, because he is being tried as an adult. So the 15-year-old girl writes in an Instagram message to Jameer Davis, "Babe, I'm finna lose my whole family for you." Another message in the exchange read, "I love blood." So they were charged yesterday. Police say that they plotted and carried out the murders of five people in that girl's family. Two other people were injured. And when they had the pretrial hearing this morning, there were details that came out that were really, really gross and scary. And I'm just going to tell you, some of this is PG-13 plus rated. So when they found these guys, the couple, they pull the car over. It's a maroon Buick. They find a severed thumb in the car. You know why they had the thumb? The girl says, "That was my grandma's. She's dead. The thumb was used." This is like a television or a movie. "The thumb was used to unlock her grandmother's phone." I swear to God, that's what they said in court. So this all went down 7 a.m. Sunday is when it started. The police in East St. Louis responded to a report of a body dumped behind a dumpster in a housing complex. They identify that person as Sherry May, 49. There's another injured woman near Argonne Drive and Lynch Street in Jones Park, 21 years old, Quentin Thomas, dead. Back at the Gompers complex, officers found the body of Devin May, 24, in apartment 8C. At this point, the investigators say they were worried for all of the other family members of the 15-year-old girl. So they pinged cell phone locations. They found the red Buick at the Frank Holton State Park. That's where they arrested the couple. But then they keep finding more bodies. After the 15-year-old told them where to look, they found Patricia May, 74 years old. That was the grandmother who lost the thumb. Tiffany Thompson, the girl's mother, was injured at Jones Park, but survived. Thompson reported that her gun was stolen. This is the mom. On July 7th, she told police at the time she thought her daughter, again, her daughter was only 15 years old, had taken it. They said that they lured, this is what the prosecutor says, the couple lured Patricia May to the apartment. Davis shot her in the head. He also shot Devin May when he went upstairs in the apartment searching for Sherry May. Of course, the defense attorney, the public defender, says, "Oh, none of this happened, right? This is not a case where he is the hunter. He is the hunted." So he's trying to put it all on the 15-year-old girl. The kid who's the 16-year-old who's being charged as an adult doesn't have any prior criminal history, but is now charged with five counts of murder, along with more than a half dozen other offenses, including dismembering a body,
goodness,
attempted murder, battery, vehicular hijacking, using a stolen gun. He's being held at the juvenile detention center without bail. The 15-year-old girl has been charged in juvenile court with first-degree murder and other charges. They want that moved to adult court. Then it becomes public, which I think is correct. I mean, can you even imagine, honestly? This is a 15-year-old girl. Now, look, these are cultural issues that I don't know how you fix these. We're going to talk about this a little bit, even this afternoon, with Heather McDonald, who wrote about, you know, the teen takeovers that we've seen. We've seen them in Holly Hills. We've seen them at the Sky Zone in Shrewsbury. So it's one of those things. In this particular situation, what do you do? I mean, you have two young kids who feel like offing an entire family is a path to what? What does that afford you? And apparently, they gave up the information pretty quickly. It wasn't like the 15-year-old wasn't telling the cops where the other bodies were, right?
It's so disturbing.
And yes.
It's something like, I hear it and I say, I don't want to hear it, but we need to hear it.
Yeah, because, you know, one of the things that I'll bring up with Heather is, you remember that situation from, what was it, like 5 weeks ago now at the Sky Zone in Shrewsbury, where, you know, this party, this 6-7 thing gets announced. There's like 350 kids that aren't let into the Sky Zone because they're at capacity, and they start rioting. But the thing that really pops out from that story, remember, is that there's a 12-year-old girl that's up in Florissant that sees this on social media and decides that this is the best move to grab a knife and to call an Uber as a 12-year-old, take that Uber 20 miles to Shrewsbury in the Sky Zone to get involved in the fight that she saw on social media. I mean, that is not, now that there's parenting issues here. I know that, let's face it, there are kids in Ballin, in Manchester, and, you know, in St. Charles that make mistakes and do things too. But these are much, much broader cultural issues that we'll talk about with Heather when we talk about these teen takeovers and some of the other stuff that's happening. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into play there, including lack of policing. But this is horrific what happened in East St. Louis.
So is the story that the girl, the 15-year-old, wanted, had her boyfriend do all of this for her and so he was
I don't think that's clear.
I can't understand that part.
I don't know that we've been, you know, I don't think the motive has been clear other than the fact that the one message that they revealed during the court hearing is she said, babe, this is the 15-year-old, I'm finna lose my whole family for you. I love blood. By the way, I kind of give credit for the Post-Dispatch for actually quoting it accurately because the finna is also a cultural thing and they didn't try to clean up that quote. So I don't know. But that's a mass murder, by the way. And, you know, the other thing about that is that don't forget that gets counted in, like, the mass shooting numbers, right? That's not a mass shooting. Five people were killed and two others injured. Again, Fred, have you seen any coverage of that on Fox?
Oh, no, not at all.
Because, honestly, this is one of those, and again, I will say this, that my mindset, this isn't fair, but sometimes my instincts, and Annie kind of has opposite instincts, I ignore Illinois at my, you know, peril and risk. And I don't mean to. We have a lot of listeners over there, right? But the mindset as a St. Louis person, as a Missouri person is, and even in East St. Louis, because East St. Louis isn't North St. Louis, right? It's over in Illinois. I sometimes don't pay as much attention. But when I saw the details of that hearing today, I'm like, this is horrific. Oh. And I think they're just scratching the surface, you know, because this was just preliminary stuff. Anyway. We'll cover that this afternoon. John Levine has written something in the New York Post. Actually, the Washington Free Beacon. He used to be at the New York Post. John's been a guest many times before. He's kind of talking about some other kind of violence that has been happening with the teachers union in Chicago hosted this Israel-hating communist convention. And John and the team at the Washington Free Beacon, they got a ticket. They were able to buy a ticket and walk around this and kind of expose some of the anti-American stuff that's going on. I mentioned Heather's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. It's a Wednesday. Our friend Alex Rich will be here in the 4 o'clock hour. Dwayne Patterson, who is the host of the Dwayne's World podcast with hotair.com, joins at 5:04. And then this is pretty cool. I love this. Kyle McClellan, former Cardinal World Series champion. He's become a friend over the years. He has a great great charity called Brace for Impact 46, and he is bringing a professional women's softball team to St. Louis later this
month. Interesting.
And there are other former Cardinals, like Matt Adams is involved and some other people, so Kyle is going to give us the details on that. I love it. I think it's very cool, and I know that he's excited about it. That's at 5:30. And then the British Open, or as they call it, like the Open Championship, where it's going to be really, really tough course conditions. And obviously a little bit of a time difference here in the States. But Dan Reardon, our golf expert, no relation, comes up at 5:45 before audio cut of the day.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? an insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, as I was mentioning, we've had a fair amount of these teen takeovers here in the St. Louis area, and they're rather scary for the people who find themselves in the middle of it and then the cops don't show up. Our friend Heather McDonald, who's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and writes at the City Journal, wrote about this. It caught my attention because there's so much, unfortunately, a connection to St. Louis. I mentioned the thing that happened at Sky Zone. We have other things as well. Heather McDonald, thank you so much for coming on 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis. How are you? Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Look, as I said, though, like we've had this happen here. Let me give you a couple examples. So one time in the city of St. Louis, but in a pretty nice area, we call Holly Hills. I used to live there. It's near what is a great city park, Carondelet Park. Complete teen takeover, the middle of this intersection. You know, one night, the residents were caught off guard. The cops never even showed up. Then we had something. And by the way, we've had a lot more than that. But on a different note, and you write about these because there are some differences in the way these teen takeovers take place. We had a one of those. Was like Sky Zone, I think it was. I can't remember exactly the name, but all these kids showed up because there was supposed to be like a 6-7 party, and it got to capacity, and they wouldn't let the kids in. There's like 300 kids from North St. Louis. This is not in North St. Louis. It's miles and miles away. They start to fight. They take over a Walmart and other stores, Heather. They end up closing down the whole shopping center because these kids went nuts. But this is part of the pattern that you're writing about, isn't it?
Right. I mean, for decades, the elites have been excusing black crime. I'm going to be very upfront. This is a race issue that we're talking about here in the name of fighting social injustice, systemic racism. And they've been telegraphing the message that it's okay to steal, it's okay to assault police officers because you are victims of white oppression. And the juvenile justice system has been becoming more and more lenient. Prosecutors in more conservative jurisdictions that are in blue states just despair at the state rules that are being imposed upon them that basically make it impossible to impose any consequences on teens. And as a result, there's a sense of being able to wreak havoc with impunity. And then what happens after a teen takeover, you know, this has been something that's got the media's attention, then there's a whole new set of justifications, even more preposterous than the usual ones that come up. You know, this is because of loneliness or social isolation or COVID or capitalism or lack of opportunities. None of that is true. It's about the failure of socialization and the lack of faith in law enforcement on the part of the elites that has resulted in the demoralization and the complete destruction of proactive policing.
Yeah, so, you know, basically what happens here is the kids know that there's going to be no consequences. Like in that first episode that I, you know, was explaining to you in Holly Hills, this went on for a while and no cops ever even showed up. you know, eventually it was too late. So one of the problems we have here is we don't have the resources, as is the case in many other cities. And then we know that the cops, you know, they want to do their job, but they can't because there aren't a number, you know, they're outnumbered, if you will. In that Sky Zone incident, one of the things that happened, this is crazy, listen to this. So there's a girl, she's 12 years old. She's in North St. Louis. Again, Heather, this is more West St. Louis, about 20 miles away from North St. Louis County, where this young girl lived. She was 12 years old. She sees this on social media. You write about this. They put the stuff. They take cameras. By the way, they all have phones, don't they? And she decides to take part in the fight by going up there in an Uber, how a 12-year-old does this, and she takes a knife to that particular parking lot where these, you know, teens have taken over the entire parking lot. And that's what she does. That's what she's inspired to do. She sees other kids fighting. She grabs a knife and goes to help. That's crazy.
Well, and this is all, there's a performative aspect to this. These takeovers are instigated on social media, and then, you know, when they're underway and fights break out here and there and brawls and shootings, the teens run to the fights to capture it on social media that they can then post in order to hope to create a viral video. So the whole thing is very strange. It's very artificial. And it is all a voluntary decision on the part of policymakers to allow this to happen rather than to enforce the law in a neutral, constitutional, colorblind manner, despite the fact that doing so will have a disparate impact on black lawbreakers.
So you go through, you know, the explanations, which are really kind of excuses that people offer for these takeovers. And one of them obviously always becomes poverty. But let's go back to the phones. All these kids have smartphones, right? They're not living below the poverty line. If they are, they're certainly spending their money in interesting ways, aren't they?
No, this has nothing to do with poverty. Americans today are not poor in any traditional sense, and these kids certainly are not either. They not only have smartphones, they have the latest jeans, they have the latest parkas. They're not stealing because they're hungry. You know, Americans' problem, health problem related to food is not too little of it. It's too much of it. We're dying of obesity and recreational eating, not of starvation. And so, you know, when they're stealing from 7-Elevens after a street takeover, these are the car takeovers where intersections are commandeered and people drive stunts, very, very dangerous. They all flood to the 7-Elevens and strip the shelves bare,
right?
Not because they need food, but because those are open late, they're poorly guarded, and it's just an easy target for, I think, a sort of retributive aggression on their part against what they see as a racist mainstream society.
You kind of, Heather McDonald is here. We're talking about the scourge of teen takeovers. You kind of started the piece, the most recent piece, talking about what happened in Chicago. And I didn't really know all the details of this, but it was something that happened during Memorial Day. And you had like 1,000 teens that were swarming the blocks around Lake Michigan. Now you got a guy in Brandon Johnson up there that likes to play, you know, the excuse game and the victim card and blame police for things that happen. So I guess Chicago would be a right place for this happening. But even I think the people up there are sick and tired of it at this point. It's gotten so out of control.
Well, the residents are, and black residents are too. You know, there was one takeover where the local TV station captured a black woman in her car saying this was just completely outrageous. She said they were twerking all over the cars, the usual accompaniment, and this is just not acceptable. So there are some black voices in the community that think there's no excuse. And I also quote a guy who's on the police commission, the civilian police commission in Detroit, who was just incredibly admirable in his defense of law and order, defense of the police, and refusal to take any of these hilarious excuses. I mean, I quote them all, I go through them all in a spirit of contempt. I don't treat any of them seriously.
Yeah.
But his NPR questioner was saying, well, it's really capitalism, that cities are not built for teens, they're built for consumerism. And he said, you know, why are they out at night? These, one of their major, they've had very violent takeovers involving people, young people being shot. And one of them was on a Sunday night, and he said, why were they out there? That's a school night. You know, the parents should be watching their kids. And the NPR reporter said, well, you know, don't all parents want the well-being of their children? And he pointed out that there had been a recent beauty supply store opening, and that the line stretched, you know, three times around the block to get in. And he said, if we had the same turnout for parent-teacher night in our Detroit schools, that parents took an involvement in their children's education and lives, we wouldn't be having this problem.
Yeah, that says a lot right there. You know, one of the things, and this is where the dishonesty comes into play when the media covers this, because, you know, someone like me gets into trouble. I have to be careful these days, because if I go on the X, formerly Twitter, and I point out that 99% of the kids that were on video in that takeover of the Sky Zone that I talked about were black kids from North St. Louis. They were not from that area. But that's, you know, the newspaper coverage, the television coverage, the radio coverage, they don't tell you that, right? They say 350 kids. They don't tell you the race of the kids. So that's, they dance around that. And, you know, my answer for a lot of this, unfortunately, is I don't think you can fix this. These are cultural problems. You can't fix this, Heather. Can you?
Well, it depends on who the you is. I would say, no, the mainstream society cannot. The change has to come from within the culture. In theory, you could imagine it being changed if there was sufficient support or stigma against single parenting and a expectation vocally expressed that parents will control their kids. But you're right. There's nothing else that, you know, the usual social service programs can do. This is a breakdown of socialization, and that begins and, you know, usually concludes in the home. Schools can try and make up for the lack of structure that these kids are getting at home by having very, very strict rules, having high expectations, making no excuses. But the schools that are willing to do that, and that mostly charter schools, are becoming fewer and fewer. And of course, under the Obama and Biden presidential administrations, those education department and justice department under those Democratic leaders started suing schools if they had disparate rates of discipline between black and white students. And so any hope of compensating for the breakdown at home in civilizing authority,
yeah,
paternal authority, is gone.
Yeah, right. Great work here, as usual, in the City Journal. Heather McDonald with the Manhattan Institute. Thank you so much, as always, Heather. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
We'll come back here, and I got a bunch of stuff, some audio I want to share as well. Don't forget Sue's News in the next hour, but it's a busy traffic afternoon.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers, and someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money, and most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait. Am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions... Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, we're going to air the president's going to deliver a speech tonight. It's been a little quiet as far as what the topic is going to be, and I have no idea. I mean, he's kind of hinted towards something that would be connected to the 2020 election. Now, I'm not a big election, you know, denier guy and all that stuff, so I don't know exactly what's going to happen there. He was on with Hugh Hewitt, and he talked about, I don't think he said anything about what he was going to talk about tonight.
All right, I'm looking forward to your speech Thursday night. You want to give us a preview?
It's just going to be a speech like a lot of my speeches.
It is tomorrow night. Thank you, Fred. I'm a little frazzled right now. The speech is tomorrow night, not tonight. Thank you. My brain got a little discombobulated because we had a guest that's not here. So I appreciate Fred correcting me.
Thank you, Fred.
The speech is actually tomorrow night. And we still don't know, you know, really what's going to happen with that. I'm not sure exactly what the president's going to talk about. I don't think we're getting any more indication today. Now, on the topic of Iran, Trey Yinks has been doing a good job of reporting on this. I mean, it seems to me that the war is back on. There is no ceasefire. They seem to indicate that we're in control. When I say they, the administration, Trey Yinks reporting on this right now, saying, look, it's hard to tell right now who is in control in Iran.
There's a real understanding in the White House that they are dealing with two groups of people inside of Iran. You have these relatively more moderate voices, the foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, and also Iran's parliament speaker and top negotiator, Mohammad Khalibaf. But when they make a deal, the question is, as journalists, that we must continue to ask, do they have the power to enforce an agreement? And at this point, it doesn't appear that they do.
Well, and that's been one of my questions from the very beginning. I mean, who actually has the power to make a deal? He seems to indicate, or at least the reporting that Trey's doing and the people are telling him, that there are back channel, you know, communications going on.
What's interesting is there are clearly back channels with the administration and the Iranian regime. I asked the president, when was the last time you spoke with an Iranian official? And he said, my team spoke with Iranian officials an hour ago. And it gives you a sense of the real-time updates that the administration is getting, and also the warnings that they are delivering behind the scenes. You also have these other regional players, Pakistan and Qatar, that are continuing each and every day to try to bring both sides back to the negotiating table and reach a more stable agreement. But the memorandum of understanding was a relatively stable agreement, and it was violated. And so the question is, could they reach another deal that ultimately the Iranians will adhere to?
I think people at this point are kind of nicknaming that the memo of misunderstanding because it just didn't hold. It never really held from the beginning. So then Trey did, you know, speak his reporting is based on the interview and some comments that he had from Trump himself. The president says, well, he was asked, how open is the strait?
Shipping data trackers indicate that just 10 vessels passed through the Strait of Hormuz on Monday, less than 10% of what normally goes through this critical waterway. Mm-hmm. When you say the strait is open, what do you mean?
It's open if people want to go through it. We're not opening it for Iran. That's the only one it's closed for. It's closed for Iran both in and out. People are finding now that there are alternatives to the Strait of Hormuz. And it's pretty amazing. You saw the line of boats going up to Texas about 2 weeks ago when it was actually closed. It looked like the Long Island Expressway for ships, or there are pipelines being built right now all over the place. It's going to be doing less business in the future than it used to.
So on the bombing campaign, because it seems like now, and we have an indication we're going after some of the infrastructure, the you know, the power plants, the bridges, et cetera.
We have seen extensive U.S. strikes against Iran for three consecutive nights now. This comes after the Iranians attacked vessels in the Strait of Hormuz. How would you describe what is happening at this moment? Has the war resumed?
Well, I guess you could define it any way you want, but certainly we're beating them up really badly. They have to be beat up. We're hitting them very, very hard. We're hitting every single thing that they have along the shore, along the waterfront.
Will these strikes continue?
They'll continue until I say it's enough.
Look, going back to the speech, I do hope tomorrow night he addresses the issue of Iran, because I think the American people need to hear him on this, and I don't think that there is any end in sight. This is going to go back and forth. Oil prices are going to go back and forth. Gas prices are going to go back and forth. This is something I've been worried about for at least 3 months now, because the Q word comes to mind, and that's Quagmire. He was even asked about ground troops again.
Are you ruling out a ground campaign in a limited capacity?
I don't want to say that either, but I would say no if I thought it was appropriate. I'd say sometimes you need a ground campaign, but we have other people that will do the ground campaign for us.
All right, and then one question on expanding the targets, because I think some of us, and maybe a lot of you listening right now, will sit back and say, look, with all this bombing, what is left? And we allegedly destroyed their Navy, a lot of the other military targets that they have. So what else is left?
Are you considering hitting energy targets or other locations inside
expand.
Of Iran?
I'll save the energy targets for last, but ultimately we'll hit energy targets, yeah. Next week it gets really bad for them, because next week comes the power plants, next week comes the bridges. We're going to knock out all their power plants, we're going to knock out all their bridges, unless they get to the table and negotiate.
The only thing he's kind of ruled out, he did this, I think, you know, a couple weeks ago, he says, I'm going to make sure that there's water for the Iranian people. But he's also speaking in terms of how many people have been killed by their own people.
On the first night of Operation Epic Fury, you addressed the world and the Iranian people directly. You said to them, when we are finished, take over your government. It will be yours to take. America is backing you with overwhelming strength. Do you still believe the Iranian people are capable of taking over their government?
I think they're afraid. They're being shot.
When you made those remarks,
yeah.
Did you believe regime change was possible at that time?
Yeah, I did. If they had guns, if they had weapons, I had no idea that they would be willing to kill 52,000 or even any people.
Yeah, whatever the number is. But look, it doesn't seem like. I think the president had his hopes pinned on something that might happen organically with regime change, and that simply hasn't happened. Trey Yangst does such a great job, though. You know, Fox gets criticized for being in the tank for Trump, but Trey Yangst and, you know, Jennifer Griffin and some of the other reporters they have that are in Israel and report on a regular basis really do a great job.
Yes.
So that's his latest interview sit-down with President Trump. I mean, literally, as I was wrapping up that segment, Sue, when I pitched to traffic and you took over, I looked up at the screen. It was still England 1, Argentina 0. And I mean, it must have been just seconds after that that Argentina tied it up. So that game is 1-1 in the 87th minute. So the game is almost over. They have that extra time, of course, that they, you know, have. And then they'll go into the extra time periods for 30 minutes. So that'll be interesting. It looks, I mean, unless someone scores here in the last, they'll have probably about 10 minutes here, give or take, you know, to 10 minutes, depending on the
extra time. That was a heck of a goal.
It was a really good goal. It was not Messi, but Messi kind of set it up and got the assist. So that's going on this afternoon. Obviously, the winner will face Spain Sunday in the World Cup final, which I think will be fun to watch. We'll see what happens there. I'm with my Spanish brothers and sisters. I can't even do this part without laughing. I swear to God. When I heard this morning, I really thought it was a joke. Do you know that Joe Biden is going to release, not only is he releasing a book, a memoir on his presidency and the reelection, but they actually put a trailer out for it. You know, like a video trailer.
Seriously.
I am. But here's, I'm going to ask the audience for some patience, and I hope that they can understand what the president is saying, because they literally put subtitles on this because you can't understand half of what he's saying. I mean, it won't surprise our listeners because we knew this guy for 4 years, right?
Since I left the presidency, I've had a lot of people ask me, Joe, what have you been doing?
Okay, like even the start there. Let me just start that again. The first three or four words you can't even understand.
Since I left the presidency, I've had a lot of people ask me, Joe, what have you been doing? I've been spending a lot of time with my family. I'm dealing with a cancer diagnosis, and I've been getting treatment, and it's been going really well. I want to thank all those who offered their prayers and support and well wishes. It's meant the world to me and to Jill. I've written a book about my time as president. It's called Promise Me America.
Promise Me America.
It's coming out in November, and it's available for pre-order now. It's about the challenges we face as a nation, and about the decisions I made, and why I made them.
Okay, that's
man.
Enough. I mean, he's not well. And here's a question. Remember he was at Dr. Jill's, book release after she had gone on a couple of outlets like The View, and then he asked kind of that awkward question, remember, from the audience,
oh,
and
yeah.
It was weird. But I guess my question would be, by the way, you heard it's going to be released in the fall, so it's November 17th, right before Thanksgiving. It's called Promise Me America. Will he do a book tour for this? And by the way, they are, you know, I guess maybe you give him a little credit because it's after the midterms, right? So they're not releasing the book before the midterms, which I don't know if that's good for Republicans because maybe you get that thing out before the midterms. It's even more embarrassing for the Democrats.
Oh, I'm sure that's purposeful. But I wonder, who is they? I mean, his publisher? I mean, who wants this thing out? And why is it getting, I guess so, right? They want the money.
Yeah, I guess so. Because, it's a president writing a book, and that's pretty typical in the aftermath of someone's presidency. But honestly, what I'd like to know, he says he's going to write about COVID and some of the other things. I mean, you're going to get this one-sided view of something that he wasn't even involved in half the time. You know, how do you write a memoir when you were barely awake during the 4 years of your presidency? I think that's a legitimate question.
Yes.
How do you candidly speak about some of the ridiculous decisions that you made that led to hyperinflation? How do you explain your debate performance? How do you explain Clooney op-ed piece?
Yeah.
Well, I know.
Yeah,
I'll be very, very curious to see. And then will he go on The View? And will he go on CNN and other outlets and take questions? Because he's not prepared to do that.
No.
I mean, you can say what you will about Dr. Jill. She's a joke and embarrassed herself, but she can put sentences together and you can understand what she says. I'd love to know. I wonder if you just Google this right now. I'd love to know how many copies of that book Jill Biden sold.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How many copies of Jill Biden's book were sold? Let's just find this out because, and I don't have a good, I'll have to ask Jennings. He might know, like, what's a good number of books, you know what I mean, these days? Because it's very different than it used to be to make the New York Times bestseller list. So this says,
I only have early sales. What do you have?
Well, I have, by the week ending June 20th, 29,539 print sales. Now, that's terrible. That's like 30,000.
Yes,
but how many people downloaded it, right?
Oh, well.
Now, this is confusing because it said 29,500, that was roughly sold in the first few, well, yeah, the first few weeks. That seems like a very low number.
Yeah.
Argentina has scored again.
Oh.
You know, it's so funny because I even said something like, man, this game looks over unless they do what they did last time. And they're doing exactly what they did last time. They just scored two goals in a matter of like 6 minutes, I
think.
Holy
cow.
And they're in stoppage time right now. They got 92,
people
just about 93
are losing
minutes.
Their
minds. There's only about 6 minutes left. So England has six. Oh, my God. And, you know, because this is the whole conspiracy. The FIFA conspiracy is they're going to, you know, it's ridiculous, but they let Messi and Argentina do whatever they want because that's who they want in the final. And that will, Ethan, kind of lend to the conspiracy theorists out there, won't it?
Yeah, there's been a couple of questionable calls throughout. We've talked about it a little bit. It's better when Messi's in the tournament. You want things to be fair, but this game, I haven't seen anything controversial whatsoever. And Messi has had both of the assists. The second one was on a cross that was headed in. And, I mean, unless something changes here in the past
5 minutes, right?
Argentina and Spain will square off in the World Cup final. But there's still, I mean, Argentina's proved that anything can happen. So there's still time left for something.
All right, we'll keep you posted on that. In the meantime, traffic is a mess depending on where you are. Sue's got an update.
Get more at 971talk.com. Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants.
And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.